In the shiurim that we've given so far, and in Yonei Tfilas Kelim, we've spoken about the basic obligation of Tfilas Kelim, and what Kelim are included in this mitzvah, how does one have to acquire the kli from the non-Jew in order to be chayav in the mitzvah. For today's shiur, I'd like to shift our attention to the Maisa Tvila itself, to the process of Tvilas Kelim. How exactly is one supposed to be tovel the kli? What bodies of water may one be tovel the kli? And how is he supposed to hold the kli when he actually does the Maisa Tvila? The Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Dafayin Heyam Beis, as we mentioned last time, the Gemara writes that from the words B'mei Nida in the Pasuk in Parshas Matos, we derive that Kelim have to be toveled in Mayim Shenida Tovel Esbahem. Matam Alome B'mei Nida, says the Gemara, Mayim Shenida Tovel Esbahem Hevei Omer Arboim Sa. So there's some kind of comparison between Tfilas Kelim and Tfilas Nida, that just like Tfilas Nida requires Arboim Sa, she has to be toveled in a mikveh, so, so too you have to be toveled the Kelim in a mikveh. We should point out that a Nida actually can be tovel not only in a mikveh, but in a mayon as well. Right? There are two different types of bodies of water that the Gemara talks about, that the Mishnayos talk about. One is a mikveh, that's water that is collected in a certain area, that's stationary. The rule of a mikveh is that it's metaher be'ashboren, the Lashon is be'ashboren, that the mayon is stationary. That's a mikveh. And the water is rainwater, it's supposed to come from rainwater. You're not supposed to use mayim she'uvim, mayim that have been drawn in a kli, a posel for a mikveh. So the mikveh has to be megeshamim, not mayim she'uvim, and it's metaher be'ashboren. A mayon, spring water, is actually metaher bezochalin. It comes from the spring, not from rainwater, and it's metaher bezochalin, it's metaher when the water is moving, when it's flowing. So there's a big difference between a mayon and a mikveh. The rule is that a nida actually can be tovel either in a mikveh or in a mayon. She can be toveles in a mayon even if the water is zochalin, and she can be tovel in the mikveh if it's megishamim, if it's be'ashborin, if it's stationary. If the water in the mikveh is moving, so then it's posel, because it's not called a mikveh. It might be megishamim, but if it's not be'ashborin, if it's zochalin, if it's flowing, so then that's a problem. But the rule is that a nida can actually be tovelas both in a mikveh and in a mayan. And the same is true for tfilas kelim. It's not necessary to be tovel the kli in a mikveh. You can be tovel it in a mayan as well. It's just if you are tovel it in a mikveh, so then it has to follow the parameters of a mikveh. It has to be bashbar and it can't be bezochalim. But one thing that we have to keep in mind is that it has to be a mayan or a mikveh that a nida can be tovel in. If a person has access to what's called a men's mikveh, a mikveh that people go to be tovel from Tfilas Keri for Tfilas Ezra, so that mikveh is posel for Tfilas Kelim. Just like a nida couldn't be tovelas in that mikveh, so too you can't be tovel Kelim in such a mikveh either. Now let's keep in mind there are some men's mikvehs that actually are made properly. They have the same rules as a lady's mikveh. They're careful. They spend a lot more money to do that because they want to be machmer. Therefore, the men's mikveh as well, it should have all of the rules that you would need for a women's mikveh too. So, in such a mikveh, if the mikveh is kedasu kedin, if it's made in a way that a nida could be tovel in that mikveh as well, so then of course it's kosher for tefilas kelim. But the typical men's mikveh is not made that way. It's basically a glorified bathtub. They put water. They just pour water into that area. So that's not a lady's mikveh. Lady's mikveh has to be made with a bar zri and a bar hashoka. You have to have a bar, you have to have an area where you have megishamim, and then you have hashoka. You connect that area to the bath, so to speak, to the bath area that's filled with mayim she'uvim, and there's some kind of a nekev, there's a hole between the two of them, and when you have a hashoka, when the waters kiss, when they touch each other, so that's metaher, the water. It's a much more complicated system. Right, but so if you have a men's mikveh that really could qualify as a lady's mikveh, then it would be kosher for tefilas kelim. But you have to keep in mind, just because you have a men's mikveh, person feels Erev Shabbos, he's going to the men's mikveh, he'll take along a kli to be tovel. Be careful, it has to be a men's mikveh that's kosher for tefilas nida. If it's not kosher for tefilas nida, then it's going to be possible for tefilas kelim. Okay, that's the basic din, that you have to be tovel the kelim either in a mayon or in a mikveh that's kosher for tefilas nida. What's the din of a nohar, of a river? So even regarding Nida, there's a whole discussion in the poskim whether a Nohar is kosher for tefillas nida. Why is that? Because a nohar is partially composed of mei mayan and partially composed of mei geshamim and mei shlogim. Meaning, you have in the river, typically you have a spring that's flowing. That's how the water is actually flowing out of the river. But often, certainly at the different times of the year, you'll have rainwater that's flowing into the river, or you have melting snow that's flowing into the river. So the problem is, if you have megashamim, if it's rov megashamim or rov meishlogim, so then there's a psul of zochalim. It can't be flowing, and typically a river is flowing. That's important to keep in mind. What's the din? What's the din of a river? If it's going to be flowing and it's rov megashamim, so then it's going to be posel. So the Mishnah Mikvah says that the kashrus of a nohar is dependent on what the rov of the mayim are. If rov mayim is mei mayon, so then it's okay. If rov is mei geshamim, then it's going to be a problem. The Gemara in the Dorim and in other places points out that everyone is moda that biyomei nisan, in days after, in the months right after the winter, where you have a ribuy of mei geshamim and hafsharas mei shlogim, you have a lot of melting snow and a lot of rain, so then everyone says that a nohar is going to be posel. In yomei tishrei, in yomim that come after the summer, so everyone is going to say that a nohar is kosher, because you don't really have so much rainwater in the nohar. You don't have so much melting snow, water for melting snow. The question is, the rest of the year. If we're not talking about yomei nisan or yomei tishrei, what's the din? What's the din? How should we view a nohar? How should we view a river? Should we view it as though it's rov megashamim, or should we not view it that way? So it's a major machlokas in the Rishonim at Paskin. Rabbi Nutam has an interesting shita. He holds that a nohar is kosher lechatchila, because he says that the ikar of the nohar is the mayon, and therefore even though it's flowing, it's kosher, it's metahar bezochalin, so therefore it's not a problem. That's the Rabbi Nutam shita. But rov Rishonim disagree. Rov Rishonim disagree. They're not so convinced that you should normally assume that the ikar gidl of the nohar is from the mayan, and therefore it should be kosher. How do we pass into the Ramah in Hilchas Mikvos, after Hilchas Nida and Simin Reish Aleph and Siv Beis? Ramah says that you shouldn't rely on the Rabbi Natam unless b'shas hadchak. If it's a very extenuating situation where you don't have a mikvah, maybe you can be makel for the Rabbi Natam shita. But it's really not a shita that we try to be makel for. It's a shita d'chuya, most of the Rishonim paskin against him. So therefore, if we paskin against him regarding nida, so regarding tvilas kalim as well, it's better not to be tovel kalim in a river. The next body of water that the Rishonim talk about is an ocean, a yam. What's the din of a yam? So the Shulchan Aruch in Simin Reish Aleph there, in Simin Reish Aleph Sif Hei, says that an ocean is like a mayon, it's like a spring, because the source of the water is coming from within the ocean. It's not coming from the rainwater. It's primarily coming from within the ocean. It's from the spring, the mayon. So therefore, an ocean, an ocean is moving. It's moving water, but it's metar bezochalin. Since it's a mayon, it has a din of a mayon, it's metar bezochalin. The poskim, though, point out that regarding tvilas nida, they recommend that a nida should not be tovel in an ocean for one of two reasons. Either because we're afraid that there'll be a chatzitza with the sand, that when she goes into the ocean, she, just like there's sand on the beach, there's sand in the ocean itself. So if she's going to stand in the beginning of the ocean, she'll get sand between her toes. She'll get sand on her body, and that might pose as a chatzitza in the tefillah. So that's one reason why the poskim say better not to be tovel in the ocean. What's more, mishum sakana, they're afraid if the woman goes out far enough that it'll be easier for her to be tovel, so then she could be swept away by the current. It's dangerous. So the chachamim say it's better for a nida not to be tovel in the ocean. Shas al chak, once again, there's room to be mekel. If she's very, very careful, you know, it's not a normal circumstance. She finds herself in a situation where she can't get a mikvah. There's no, she can't be tovela. So then some poskim might say that it might be okay to be tovel in the ocean. It's something that we should avoid. But if there's no other way, so then perhaps it might be permissible. For kalim, these two chashashas don't apply. First of all, you talk about chatzitza with the sand. There's not going to be any sand on the kli. The person can walk into the ocean, but the kli itself is not going to be exposed to the sand, so that chashash doesn't apply to a kli. Sakana, the post can point out, sakana doesn't really apply. The chashash of sakana in the ocean doesn't apply to kalim either, because you don't have to walk out so far in order to be tovel the kli. So when it comes to Tvilas Kelim, there are many poskim who say that one can be Mekel, that you can be Tovel, the Kli in the ocean, it has a din of a Mayan, and the Chashoshos that apply to Tvilas Nida do not apply to Tvilas Kelim. So therefore, Lechatchila, one can be Mekel to be Tovel Kelim in an ocean. Okay, so if you find yourself, in the Hamptons or somewhere where there's an ocean in the backyard, so that's a big cooler that one can just turn around and be Tovel in the ocean, and that would be fine. What's the halacha of a lake? A lake is another type of body of water. So the poskim say that depends on a lot of different factors. It depends on the source of the water. It depends whether the lake is open to another body of water or if it's completely closed up. Why should it matter? Well, if it's open to another body of water, so then the water might move. It's not stagnant water. It's not static water. It's not ashboren. But rather, it's moving. So if it's moving, and yet it's not, the source of the water is not from a mayon, so that will be zochalin, that would be a psul. The mikvah, a mikvah has to be ashboren. So in order for the lake to be metaher midin mikvah, it has to be stationary. So it's important to know where the lake is going. Is it a completely closed body of water? Right, it's landlocked on all sides, or maybe it's open to a river, open to some other body of water. You can look at the lake. You have to examine the lake and see, is it flowing, is it not flowing? So if the lake is stationary, then it really is kosher. It can serve as a mikvah. There are many camps that have a lake attached to the camp, and the lake is completely circumscribed by land. It's landlocked, and they do use that lake. The lake is used. A certain area of the lake, a private area of the lake, is used for tefillas nida, for those women in the camp that have to go to the mikvah. There are certain camps, not all, but there are certain camps that have an area for the women to go to the mikvah. Those camps that don't have a lake that would qualify as a mikvah, so for the women who are in those camps, then they have to go to a mikvah nearby. There are mikvos in the Catskills and the Poconos where women do go, but there are certain camps that they have an area where the woman can actually go. The women can go to the mikvah at the lake itself. Obviously, you have to make sure that it's a private area and proper tznius is going to be maintained. Finally, what's the din of Shelig? Snow. Can one be Tovel in snow? So the Mishnah Mikvos in Perek Zayin, Mishnah Aleph, writes that you can be Tovel b'Shelig. Why is that? Well, snow, we know, comes from water, right? It's frozen water. So, at first glance, what's the difference between that and water? So the truth is, it's not so simple, because the Rishonim have a Machlokas. Even though the Mishnah says that you can be Tovel in Sheleg, the question is, what kind of Sheleg are we talking about? The Rishonim have a Machlokas whether the Mishnah is talking only after the Sheleg has melted, the snow has melted. Meaning, all the Mishnah is saying is that there's no psul of She'uvim by Sheleg. Like, if you put Sheleg into some kind of a container, and then you throw it out on the ground, right, and then it melts, so after it melts, it doesn't have a din of Mayim She'uvim, because it doesn't form. It's not held by the Kli. It has its own form, right? It's like a Dover Gush. It has its own form. So we don't view it as though it was put into any receptacle. So if that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah, so then we don't have a Heter to be Tovel in the Sheleg when it's still snow. But other Rishonim argue, and they say, no, that snow, even when it's still in the state of snow, it is considered Mayim, and you can be Tovel actually in the snow in that state. Regarding Tvilas Noshim, the Rama writes that it's better to be machmir. But perhaps, regarding Tfilas Kelim, there's more room to be mekel. The Pesachei Tshuva, at the beginning of Ilchas Tfilas Kelim, in Simen Kuf Chof, Sif Katan Dalet, he quotes from the Chochmas Adam, that at least for Klei Zechuches, since Klei Zechuches, the Chi of Tfil is only Midrabonan, perhaps there's room to be mekel, to be Tovel B'Shelik. Right? Again, there's a Machlokas HaRishonim, whether that which the mikvah says you can be Tovel in Shelig is that when it's still in the state of Shelig or only after it melts. So for Tfilas, Klei Zechuches, there are some who are willing to be Mekel. If you have a glass cup or something, or a glass dish that you have to be Tovel, so some say that perhaps you can be Tovel in Shelig. But it's very complicated because, you do need Arboim Sa'ah of Shelig in one spot. Right? It's not enough just to take the Shelig that you have in front of you and say that's sufficient. It has to be Shelig in one spot. And the airspace does not combine, so it's not mitzdayev to the shear. So you just have to make sure that you have a lot of shear. It has to be, a big snow. It has to be a big snow, and there's a lot of snow in one spot. It's b'shas al-chak anyway. I wouldn't necessarily, do this lechatchila, but in certain circumstances, one could ask a posek, and perhaps there might be a kula to be tovel in shelley. But you know, in most circumstances, we would rather be tovel in some kind of body of water, whether it's a mikvah or it's a mayan or a yam or maybe a lake that's circumscribed. Those are definitely bodies of water that are better to be tovel in. Okay, this is the basics of what kind of body of water is one supposed to be tovel the kli in. Morty Blau.
Is there nothing between a man-made lake and a natural lake? I don't think there's a man-made lake.
No, I don't think there's a difference because the reality is it's still not called she'uvim. Even if it's a man-made lake, a mikveh is also a man-made lake, so to speak, right? It's a man-made collection of water. The key is where is the water coming from? Once it's man-made, once we put something there, we put the dirt around, so then if it rains into the lake, and that's how the water gets there, so it's like any other body of water that's not man-made. Okay. So now that we spoke about the body of water to be tovel the kli, let's look at the actual tvilas kelim itself. We said that tvilas kelim is derived from tvilas ni. That's what the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says. So what halachas do we learn from that? So there are many different halachas that the poskim derive from this comparison between tvilas kelim and tvilas nida. The first is alluded to by the Mordechai. The Mordechai in Siman Tov Tov Nun Tes. Okay, let's take a look at the screen share for a moment. The Mordechai, this is at the end of the Gemara packet that we had. The Mordechai quotes the Rabbeinu Shmuel at the end of Siman Tov Tov Nun Tes. He says, Shol harav Rabbeinu Shmuel mi Bunbork es Rabbeinu Simcha yilamdeinu Rabbeinu im ata Tevilas kelim ketvilas kadmonim hamalim itum letara. V'im tzarech lahatbil yodos kelim kmo shehein aruchin. Do you have to be tovel the handle of the kli in addition to the kli, or just the kli itself? The handle of the kli could be much longer. V'heishiv, and he answered, devandei tzarech lahatbil. Of course, you have to be tovel the handle. You have to be tovel the whole kli. The mali yodav mali beis tashmishim. What's the difference between the handle and the actual place that you use in the kli for the food? Halav befleitas isatalia milsa. Tfilas kelim has nothing to do with taking out, expelling a blia in the kli. Do afilu chadoshim tzvichan tefila, because even chadoshim require tefila as well. There's no tefilas kelim has nothing to do with pleitas isa. That's hechsher kelim. So says the Rabbeinu Simcha. He says, of course, you have to be tovel the yodos hakli as well. It's not enough just to be tovel the basic kli, you know, the main part of the kli, the base tashmisho, but rather you have to be tovel the yad of the kli as well. The Sefer Daket Tshuva points out that even if the handle of the kli is made out of a substance that doesn't require tefillah, let's say it's made out of wood, right? You could have a wooden handle. The wooden handle has to be toveled as well because it's all one kli, it's all part of the kli. This is derived from Tfilas Nida. When it comes to Tfilas Nida, the whole body of the individual has to be inside the mikveh. Any Tvila Mituma, it's not just Tfilas Nida, Tfilas Nida is an example, but any Tvila Mituma, the body of the individual has to be entirely submerged within the mikveh, and if not, then the Tfila is going to be a Tfila Psula. So the same should hold true for Tfilas Kalim. This is point number one, that you have to be Tovel, even the Yad of the Kli, even the handle. Just because it's not made out of a substance that would require tefillah doesn't matter. It's still chayv in tefillahs kelim. The Pischei Tshuva in Sivkot and Gimel adds another point from the Chachma Sadam. He says that one has to be tovel the kli b'vasachas. You have to do it at one time. The whole kli has to go into the mikveh one time. You can't be tovel lachatzoyin. Can't do it half the kli and then the other half of the kli. Now sometimes the mikveh could be situated in such a way that it's hard to put the entire kli underneath the water. That's a problem. You have to be able to put the entire kli underneath the water bevasachas. The Chachmas Adam points out that even though when it comes to hechsher kelim, when it comes to hagola, you don't have to be magil bevasachas. You could be magil the kli lachatzayin, do half the kli one time and do the other half of the kli at the other time. So he says, but it's not the same. Hagola and tefilas kelim are not the same because hagola is a function of the pleitas issa. You're trying to expel, to take out the blia inside the kli. So if you're trying to take out the blia inside the kli, then it doesn't matter that you do it lachatzon, you do it piecemeal, that's okay. But when it comes to tevila, you have to have the entire body of the kli submerged in the mikveh at one time, just like the nida has to be submerged completely in the mikveh. the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is that even if one hair of the nida is outside of the it's outside the mikvah, the tefillah is a tefillah psula. So the same should be true for tefillahs kelim, because we learn tefillahs kelim from tefillahs nida. A third halacha that the poskim talk about is what happens if a non-Jew is tovel the kli. Does that work or does it not work? So the poskim also compare this halacha to tefillahs nida. The Shulchan Aruch in Simen Kuf Chaf, Sif Tes Vav, right? The end of the Simen and Hilchos Tefillahs Kelim that we keep on referring to. Take a look at this Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says at the very end of Simen Tes Vav, at the very end of Simen Kuf Chaf, in Sif Tes Vav, Im Hitbil Kelim Al Yidei Ovik HaChavim Olso Lehem Tevila. Shulchan Aruch says that you can be Tovel Kelim through a non-Jew. Now, we pointed out that it's better not to do that because the non-Jew can't be your shliach, so you're going to be giving up the mitzvah by allowing the non-Jew to do the tefillas kelim. Just like we said that better not to give it to a katan. Maybe the katan has an emunus for certain types of tefillas kelim, but it's always better for the gadol to do it because the akum or the katan can't be a shliach. So therefore, if you give the kli to the non-Jew or to the katan, you're going to give up the mitzvah tefillah. But let's say you can't go to the mikvah. Let's say you just can't do it. You don't have the time, or whatever. You need a kli for Shabbos, and there's no way that you're going to get to the mikvah. So says the Shulchan Aruch, if you give the kli to the non-Jew, so then the tefillah works. Let's say a person is going to watch the non-Jew. He's going to see whether he's tovel properly. But for some reason, that individual can't actually go to the mikvah. So as long as you know for sure that the non-Jew is tovel, and you don't have to rely on trusting him, so then the tefillah actually works. What's behind this? So the Bach explains that we paskin that Anida doesn't need kavana when she's tovelis. If Anida falls into the mikvah by accident, the tefillah works. And normally the Anida understands that she's going into the mikvah, she goes in by kavana. But let's say she happens to, I don't know, she fell into the lake. She's in the lake, so b'di'evit, it does work. L'chatchila, we hold that you should do another tefillah. The Rama says she should do another tefillah. But b'di'evit, it does work. We assume that the tefillah really, really does work. So the Bach says the same is true for tefillahs kelim. The Shulchan Aruch finds its source in a Rashba, a tshuva of the Rashba. What's this based on? That we paskin, even by tefillahs nida, that even tefillah below kavan is okay. So therefore, by tefillahs kelim, itaka is okay as well. So the Shach is troubled. He says, if you look at the Rashba actually paskins himself that you need kavanah by tefillahs nida. Maybe the Shulchan Aruch paskins that tefillahs nida doesn't require kavanah, but the Rashba himself says that tefillahs nida does require kavanah. So what's he saying by tefillahs kelim that you don't need kavanah? So says the Shach, apparently what you have to say is tefillahs kelim is somehow more lenient. It's different than tefillas nida, even though we do compare tefillas kelim to tefillas nida for some halachas. But here we look at tefillas kelim as just being a gzeras hakosav. It's not like a tefillah mituma, because it's not like a tefillah mituma. So therefore, maybe you don't need kavana for tefillas kelim, even if you do need kavana for tefillas nida. So either we're comparing tefillas kelim to tefillas nida, we say both of them do not require kavana, or there are those who want to say then maybe the reason why the tefillas akum, the akum who's tovel the kli, that works for tefillas kelim, that's because tefillas kelim regarding kavana is actually more lenient than tefillas nida. Even if by tefillas nida you do need kavana, by tefillas kelim, everyone would say that you do not need kavana. Okay. The fourth and final halacha that we derive from tefillas nida is chatzitza. The Ritva in Masechta Avodah Zarah quotes from the Ravid that because we derived tefillas kelim from tefillas nida, there's a din of chatzitza. Kosev Rabbeinu harayved zal the kevin the hook shel nida tzarech lizar shlo yehei ben davar chotzitz. You have to be careful that there are no chatzitzos on the kelim that you're being tovel. Just like a nida has to be careful to remove all chatzitzos, all items that are going to separate between herself and the water. So too, zokter edva b'shem the rayved, since tefillas kelim is derived from tefillas nida, we have to remove all devarim that are chotzitz. What does that mean? What constitutes a chatzitza? So the Gemara in Nida, the Gemara in Sukkah, and other places says, Minat Torah, only rubo hamakbid is chotzitz. Only if the chatzitza is on most of the surface of the item that you're being tovel, and the person is makbid, he doesn't want it to be there. Okay, so there are two ingredients that you need in order to call it a chatzitza: rubo and makpid. Midrabbanan though, Chazal are machmir, even if it's miut makpid, even if it's only on a minority of the surface, but the person is still makpid. Obviously, if it would be a miut she'eino makpid, if it would be a small amount that's not makpid, midrabbanan, it's really not a problem. It's not a chatzitza bechlal. But the chachamim amachmir, even if you don't have rubo hamakbid, even if you only have miut hamakbid, it's on a small part of the kli, but the person is makbid, he doesn't really want it to be there. So he doesn't want it to be there, that's also called a chatzitza. And this halacha applies to tefilas kelim as well. The Mordechai writes earlier in Siman Tov Tov Nun Tes, he says b'shem a tshuva achas, that chatzitza is a problem for tefilas kelim, even miut hamakbid, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. The Ramayin Hilchas Nida though points out that we are machmir to remove even a miut she'eino makbid. L'chatchila we hold you should remove all chatzitzos, both by tefilas nida and presumably by tefilas kelim as well. Why is that true? Because we're concerned. We don't know what's called a miut hamakbid, what's called a miut she'eino makbid. Is he really makbid? Is he not makbid? It's complicated, right? Do we follow this individual? Is it a subjective thing? Is it more objective that if most people are makbid, that should be called a kpeda? So because we're not so clear on what is called makbid, what's not called makbid, the minig has developed that we try to remove all chatzitzos. Not only miyud ha-makbid, but even miyud she'eino makbid. Even a very small, like a little bit of a stickiness. You have a small label, a small tag or something on the item, on the kli. We're machmir to try to remove that item as well. So that's what you'll find in the mikveh. They have nail polish remover, they have goo gone, they have different substances that can take away any goo, any stickiness on the kli. Because we are machmir, even though technically speaking only miut hamakbid is a problem in Rabbanan, but just like the Ramah is machmir in Hilchas Nida to say that you should remove even a miut chain hamakbid, so too when it comes to tefilas kelim, one should do so in order to remove every chatzitza, so that there shouldn't be any chashash that there's a chatzitza, that maybe the chatzitza that you have is really a miut hamakbid. David Mirsky.
I just wanted to ask Rabbi, what if in a case of Safik, like the Rabbanan or Machmir, do we apply Safik or Rabbanan Lekula or not?
So, again, a Chumra means that we try to do this. I mean, it is a case of Safik, right? That's the whole point, is that it's a case of Safik, and yet the minig has developed that we try to be Machmir. Why? Because we're not sure what's called Makbid. So I'm not sure that this is a regular Sfeika de Rabbanan. A Sfeika de Rabbanan is where it's a suffix whether there's a chiyuv. Here, it's a suffix in the definition of what's called makbid. We're afraid that it might be called makbid. It's not a suffix that this posek says X and the other posek says Y. It's that the metzius is such that we just don't know whether it's a kpeda or it's not called a kpeda. So here, there might be room that even if it's a derabanan, there's room to be machmer. And that's talk of the minig. The minig is we try to be machmer to remove all chatzitzas from the kelim. There's one exception to the rule, and that is, let's say a person wants to leave the label on. There are some kelim that are a high-end kelim that sometimes they have a label that it adds a chashivas to the kli, that the label is left on the kli. So in that case, it's not a chatzitza. Right? If the person intends to leave the label on, so then clearly he's not makbid. Fakert, it's a chashivas to the kli. So in that circumstance, there is no reason to remove that label before the tefilas kelim. Okay, this concludes the second chelek of this discussion. We talked about the bodies of water that you can be tovel the kelim in, and now we spoke about certain comparisons between tefilas kelim and tefilas nida. Question. So a hand up, Jacob Dower.
When we say makbid, we're meaning makbid to take it off or makbid to leave it on?
No, makbid to take it off. A person doesn't really want it there. If he sees it there, he'll say, ah, and he'll take a little soap to get it out. He'll try to remove it. So if he will try to remove it later because he doesn't like it there, so then bishas tvila, that's called a chatzitza because he's makbid to take it off. That's the problem. Okay? Yosef Trapp.
Let's say it's a kli that he himself like doesn't care, and it's like a regular kli. The sticker itself doesn't have any chashivas, but he'll just leave it on the kli. But objectively, nobody leaves that sticker on the kli.
So why is he leaving it on the kli? If no one would want to leave it on the kli, so why would he do that?
He's lazy. I don't know. He just leaves it on there. Like,
so at some point in time, when he has 2 minutes, will he Will he try to, you know, take it off and rinse it and clean it and whatever? That's part of the issue of what we just mentioned. That because we're not sure whether kpeda is a more objective definition or it's a subjective definition, so that's why the minhag has developed that we try to remove all chatzitzos, unless the person absolutely wants it on the kli. If it's not just that he's not makbe, but rather he wants it on the kli, so then it's permissible to leave it on the kli, and that's not a chatzitza. Solomon.
Is rust considered a
chatzitza? Is what? Rust is considered a chatzitza. That's what the Mordechai is talking about. Let's go back to the screen share. We should have looked at this inside. The Mordechai in the first column, at the beginning of Simen Tov Tov Nun Tes, he writes like this. Ubesefer orza ruapasak imlohever. Imlohever, what's he talking about? Imlohever hachaluda. Chaluda means the rust. Imlohever lo olsa tvila. And that's mamish what the Arzaru is going on. Omna matzasi b'tshuva achas shim ein yochol lahavra chaluda shlo yishar shem ki ma'at havalei miyuta shino makbid ve'eno chotez b'tvila. The Arzaru says that you have to remove all of the rust, but says the Mordechai found in the tshuva achas that if it's only a miyut shino makbid, it's not going to be a problem. So really, me'ikar adin, if you have a little bit of chaluda that you can't remove, you have a little bit of rust, it's not a problem. L'chatchila, we try to remove it. So In that situation that you can't remove the rust, you can't, there's no gugon that's going to take the rust away. So you try to scrape it off or whatever, but if you can't get it off, then by definition it's not makbid because you're going to leave it on the kli. There's nothing you can do. So at that point, it's not going to be a chatzitz. It'll be, you'll be able to be tovel the kli even with the rust on the kli. One of the major shilas that the poskim talk about regarding tefilas kelim, regarding the process of tefillah, is how should one hold the kli when they're engaged in the Maisa Tefillah. What's the question? Well, the problem is that if you hold the kli too tightly, so then the water is not going to get between the hand and the kli. If it doesn't get between the hand and the kli, that's even worse than chatzitza. Chatzitza means that the kli is entirely submerged in the water, but there's something that's preventing the water from touching the kli. But if a person is holding onto the kli, some poskim say that might be viewed as though part of the kli is actually outside the water. It's not inside the water, it's actually outside the water because the water is not even getting to that chelik of the kli. It's not just the chatzitza. The hand preventing the water from even getting near the kli might be even worse than a chatzitza. It could be like the se'ar of the nida, if you have a little bit of hair that's outside of the mikveh, so that's even worse than a chatzitza. Everyone would say that even if that's a miyut, that's going to be a problem. So if you hold onto the kli too strongly, then it might be tantamount to part of the kli being outside the water. If you're going to loosen your grip on the kli, then you might lose the kli in the mikveh. As if you look carefully at the mikveh, you will see that there is silverware at the bottom of the mikveh. There are, you know, some mikvahs, you have some kind of kela, I don't know, plates or cups. You can have a whole suda at the bottom of the mikveh there, right? So you don't want to be like those individuals who lost their kelim at the bottom of the mikveh. So what is one to do? How should you hold on to the kli in a way that it'll be a tefillah ksher, but you're not going to use the kelim? So the Mishnah actually talks about this. The Mishnah mikvos, Perek Ches Mishnah Hey, that's quoted by the Taz in Yerideya, discusses this very issue. Let's look at the Mishnah together. This is in packet 6. Okay? Quoted by the Taz in Yerideya, in Hilchas Nida, in Simen Kuf Tzari Chesef Kod Nechav Zayin. Mishnah says, Ha'ochez ba'odem uvekelim umadbilan temein. Someone who holds on to a person or to kelim, and he's tovel them in the mikveh, that's a problem. It's not going to work. But vim heidiach yada b'mayim tahorim lefi she'amashka shal yada mischaber lemei ha'mikveh ve'en kan chatzitza. Right, that's not the whole lashon of the Mishnah. The Mishnah just says that if imhidiach yada b'mayim tahorim, the Tanakhama says that if you wet your hand and then you tovel the adam or the kelim, then it's okay. Reb Shimon Omer yirape es yadav kedesh shiavo b'hem ha'mayim. Rabbi Shimon disagrees with the Tanakhama. He says that you have to soften your grip. So the lashon of the Tanakhama is that you have to wet your hand. Somehow the wetting of the hand creates a chibur between the water that's between the hand and the kli. And because it's a chibur, that's viewed as a tefillah. Rabbi Shimon says, no, you should soften your grip so that the water will be able to get between your hand and the kli. So what exactly are the Tanakama Reb Shimon saying? So there's a major machlokas in the Rishonim, the Rambam, and the Rashba that the Taz quotes over here. We'll just summarize. We're not going to read the whole thing inside, but let's just summarize. The Rambam holds that the Tanakama is the Machmer over here. The Tanakama is the Machmer. Reb Shimon says, Yerapis Yadav, that means Oze Oze. You either can wet your hand or you can loosen your grip. That's Reb Shimon Shita. The Chacham say, no, you have to Dafka be Mediach Yadav B'mayim. Why is the Tanakama Machmer according to the Rambam? Because the Tanakama is concerned that if we allow you just to soften your grip, you might not soften the grip properly. You might not soften it enough. There's a gzera that you won't soften the grip enough. So that's why the Tanakama says that softening the grip is not enough, but rather you have to wet your hand before being tovel the kli. That's the Machlokas Tanakama Reb Shimon according to the Rambam. The Rashba argues, Menakotze Lakotze, he says it's not that the Tanakama is being Machmer more, but rather Reb Shimon is being Machmer more. The Tanakama says, Hadochas Yadayim is enough. As long as you wet your hand, that's enough. Reb Shimon is afraid that even if you wet your hand, maybe you'll hold onto the kli too tightly. So wetting the hand is not going to be sufficient to create a chibur between the water in between your hand and the kli and the water of the mikvah. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon says that you dafka have to be merape yadav. You dafka have to soften your grip. According to the Tanakhama, you could do either or. You can either soften your grip or you can wet your hand. And just parenthetically, the Rashba says that according to the Tanakhama, if you wet your hand, you do have to be careful to loosen the grip a little bit. You have to hold it with a koach that he calls a koach benuni. Right? There are really three levels of holding onto the kli. You hold it onto it tightly, right? Either you hold onto it tightly, or it's a very loose grip, or it's somewhere in the middle. It's not tight, but it's not so loose. So Zokta Rashba, the Tanakama holds, you have a choice. Either you can loosen your grip completely, or you can wet your hand and you can hold it a bit more tightly, but b'koach benuni, right? And that's fine, right? If you wet your hand, then you can hold it with a koach benuni, says the Tanakama. Comes Reb Shimon and says, no, you can't wet your hand. Can't wet your hand, you have to loosen the grip. You have to loosen the grip, because we're afraid that if we allow you to wet your hand, right? If we allow you to wet your hand, you're not gonna loosen the grip enough. So therefore, you have to loosen the grip completely. Okay, this is the Machlokas Tanakama Reb Shimon according to the Rambam and according to the Rashba. So just to summarize, right? There are two Machlokasim going on over here. First of all, does Ripui work according to the Tanakama? Right? I should say we paskin like the Tanakama. Right? Tanakama is the Rabbim. Reb Shimon is the Das Yachid. So he paskin like the Tanakama. But the Rishonim debate the sheet of the Tanakama in two different ways. First of all, does the Tanakama hold that Ripui by itself works? Right? Does Ripui by itself work? According to the Rambam, the Tanakama says no, Ripui is not going to work. You need Dafka Hadocha. According to the Rashba, the Tanakama says either or. Ripui can work. But Hadocha can also work as long as you're Machzik in the Kli B'Koach Benoni. That's one Machlokas. Does Ripui work according to the Tanakama? Can you just loosen your grip? But the second Machlokas is, if you decide according to the Tanakama to be Mediach Yadav, can you hold the Kli tightly after wetting your hand or not? According to the Rambam, we don't care about how you hold the Kli. Once you wet your hand according to the Tanakama, there's no problem at all. You can even hold the Kli tightly. According to the Rashba, that's not true. The Rashba says that the Tanakama is a big mekel. He says that you can either loosen your grip or wet your hand. But if you wet your hand, you better be careful not to hold the kli very tightly. You got to hold it with that koach benoni. Okay, these are the two machlokasim between the Rambam and the Rashba within the Tanakama. Let's just look at the visual aid that I added over here. Okay, can you see the aid? How is a person supposed to hold the kli b'shas tefillah? So we have the Tanakama Reb Shimon. So what does the Rambam say? The Rambam says the Tanakama is machmer. The Tanakama says that you tzarech l'hadiach yadav. You have to wet the hand. Ripui is not going to work because we're afraid that you're not going to be merapa properly. Reb Shimon says either this or that. Doesn't matter. Either wet your hand or loosen the grip. According to the Rambam, the Tanakama is machmer. And the Rambam holds, according to the Tanakama, that Ripui does not work. The Rashba says, no, Reb Shimon is the machmer. He says you must be merapa. Wetting the hand is not going to be enough because we're afraid you're going to hold onto the kli too tightly, even if you wet your hand. But Zokta Rashba, according to the Tanakhama, either or, either soften your grip or wet your hand. But just be careful when you wet your hand, you can't hold on to the kli so tightly. You have to hold on to it with that middle type of strength. So how do we pass? We pass like the Tanakhama. What's the machlokas? The Rishonim have two debates, right? Two disagreements here. Does ripui work? According to the Rambam, the Tanakhama holds ripui does not work. You can't loosen the grip. You must wet the kli. The Rashba says no. According to the Tanakhama, you can be merapa, but hadochas yadayim also works as long as you have that middle type of grip. So that's the second machlokas. If you wet the hand, can you hold on to the kli b'koch? The Rambam says, lefida tanakama, it doesn't matter. You can hold on to the kli even with a strong grip as long as you wet your hand. According to the Rashba, that's not true. The tanakama might be makil that you can either loosen the grip or you can wet your hand, but you got to be careful. If you wet your hand, you cannot hold on to the kli with a strong grip. So we paskin like the tanakama, yeah? Let's take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. Let's take a look at the Shulchan Aruch at the beginning of Hilchas Tefilas Kelim. What does the Shulchan Aruch really say? So the Shulchan Aruch in Siv Beis, Simen Kuf Chav, Siv Beis writes like this: Tzarech she'ya kli rofei biyado b'shas tefila, shemahadko biyado abi chatzitza. Shulchan Aruch says that it has to be rofei, it has to be a loosened grip. But adds the Shulchan Aruch, v'im lichleach yado, but if you wet your hand, b'mayim tchila in lochosh. If there's hadochas yadayim beforehand, you wet your hand beforehand, then it's okay. So who's the Shulchan Aruch paskening like? He's paskening like the Tanakhama. Lefi which Rishon? Help me now. Which Rishon? The Rambam or the Rashba?
Rambam.
Which Rishon? Which Rishon says that either or lefi the Tanakhama? Let's go back to the visual aid. Which says either or within the Tanakhama? The Rambam says that you have to be Mediach Yodav. It's the Rashba that he's paskening like. That either Hadacha or Ripui can work. That's how the Shulchan Aruch seems to be paskening. So Frek the Shach, why did he not mention the Rambam? It's the Machlokas. Why does he only mention the Rashba? Why does he not mention the Rambam? It's a pel against the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says Oze Oze. So we're paskening like the Tanakhama, but which Tanakhama? Sounds like the Rashba's Tanakhama. So why does the Shulchan Aruch just quote the Rashba and not the Rambam? It's a pela, Frek the Shach. So the Pischei Tshuva quotes the Teferis Lamoshe, who wants to suggest that maybe even the Rambam would say that the Tanakhama is Mekel by Tfilas Kelim. Maybe even the Rambam would say that the Tanakhama is Mechalek between Tfilas Nida as opposed to Tfilas Kelim. By Tfilas Nida and other Tfilos Mituma, there the Tanakhama is Machmer. There the Tanakhama is Machmer. That we're concerned that if we allow you to loosen the grip, you might not loosen the grip completely. And if you don't loosen the grip completely, gewalt, the tefillah is going to be a tefillah psula, and then there'll be terrible consequences. Tefillah nidas and isakares, right? There are isurim. You'll eat the betuma, right? The kli is still going to be tome, and it'll be metame ochlam, and bias nida is a chi of kares. There are terrible isurim. But by tefillahs kalim, what's the big deal? Okay, there's an issa to use the kli even once without tefila. Yes, that is true. There is an issa to use the kli even once without tefila. But besach hakol, if you use the kli without tefila, does it do something to the ochel? No, right? It's not going to aser the ochel. We said there's a chiyuv to be tovel. It's also to use the kli even once without tefila, but it's not going to do anything to the meichel without the tefila. To zoktet faris lamosha, maybe even the Rambam would admit that the Tanakhama would say, Oza, Oza, for Tvilas Kalim, you don't have to do Ripui. Hadoch is sufficient, because what's the worst that'll happen? What's the worst that'll happen? Right? I'm sorry, even the Tanakhama will say Ripui is sufficient by Tvilas Kalim, because what's the worst that's going to happen? If you don't loosen the grip enough, okay, so the Tvila is the Tvila Psula, but it doesn't ask for the food anyway. So of course the Tanakhama says Hadocha works, but the Chiddush is that maybe even the Rambam, right, the Rambam would say that maybe even the Tanakhama will admit by Tfilas Kalim, since it's not a Tfila Chamur, it won't ask the food, so even the Tanakhama will say that Ripui can work as well. So that's why the Mechaber just quoted this Shita that either Ripoy or Hadachah sufficient, he's not paskening like the Rashba. The answer to the Shach's kasha is that he's not paskening like the Rashba, but rather, maybe he says that Tfilas Kalim is different. It's more lenient. Even the Rambam will say, according to the Tanakhama, that that either one is sufficient. The Taz in Hilchas Nida seems to just say that the Shulchan Aruch paskens like the Rashba. He points out, even in Hilchas Nida, the Shulchan Aruch seems to pasken like the Rashba. The Shach is a little bit of a pella. Like the Shach says, why does he not mention the Rambam? He doesn't mention the Rambam in Hilchas Nida either. So the simple answer is that the Shulchan Aruch feels that Kedai Hu, the Rashba, Lismuch Alav Lahakel, it could be Mekel for the Rashba. The Rashba says, Lefida Tanakama, that either Ripoy or Hadach is sufficient. And that's true, Bain by Tfilas Nida, Bain by Tfilas Kalim. For some reason, the Shach holds by Tfilas Nida, we're going to be machmer for the Rambam, that you dafka need hadacha according to the Tanakhama. So then the question is, why by Tfilas Kalim is the Shulchan Aruch more mekel? So for that, you have to come on to answers that maybe Tfilas Kalim is more kal than Tfilas Nida, but says the Taz in Ilchas Nida, the Shulchan Aruch, both in Ilchas Tfilas Kalim and in Ilchas Nida, paskins like the Rashba. So maybe he just holds that it's a machlokas or Rishon, but he feels the Rashba is Kedai, the Rashba Shita is... It's a bona fide sheet, then one could be Mekel for that sheet. So we can just assume that either Hadacha or Ripa are going to be sufficient. I saw the Chalkas Ben Yamin wants to say, L'chatchila, one should use Hadacha, one should wet the hand. Why should one wet the hand? Because it's very hard to estimate what kind of a grip you're going to have on the Kli. Right? We said there's a hard grip, strong grip. There's a very loose grip, and then there's somewhere in the middle. So what's very loose and what's somewhere in the middle? I think we know what a hard grip is, but like what are the other two gradations? It's very hard to know, what ripui yadayim really is all about. So the Chalkas Ben Yamin says it's kedai to wet your hand when you tovel the kli, because by wetting the hand you'll create a chibur between the water on your hand, the water in the mikvah, and that will enable the kli to be toveled properly. Solomon.
Maybe what the Shach. Also, I think that I don't know why the Shulchan Aruch is fasting like the Rashba. Why does he say en lachush? Like seemingly saying that you don't have to worry at all whether you grab it strongly or maybe if you do it in a korban.
No, I think the Shulchan Aruch is saying that im lechleach yodav, if you wet your hands, so then there's no problem, right? There's no problem even. You're saying that the Shulchan Aruch thinks that even if you hold it strongly, that's what you're trying to say?
Yes.
I hear. I mean, that would be dependent on the Machlokas, the Rashba, and the Rambam. It's unclear from the Shulchan Aruch what he's saying. So if you learn like the Tefillah Lemoshe, so then he's assuming like the Rambam. Right, he's assuming the Shulchan Aruch paskin like the Rambam, but the Rambam is makel by Tfilas Kalim. So according to the Rambam, you could even hold the Kli strongly. If you assume like the Taz and Ilchas Nida, so then the Shulchan Aruch is just paskin like the Rashba. But we said, according to the Rashba, if you're going to do Hadachas Yadayim, you do have to be careful not to hold the Kli so strongly. So it's not really clear how the Shulchan Aruch is paskining. Yeah, it's not so clear. Yes, Mori Blau.
I think that needs to be the Shach's kasha. The Shach's kasha is that seemingly if he passes like the Rashba, then the Shulchan Aruch were to add it, you have to make sure not to hold it so tightly. But the fact that he doesn't say that, maybe he is passing like the Rambam.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. So maybe that's why the Sefer Tiferes Lemoshe didn't want to say like the Taz. He felt that, no, he's paskening like the Rambam. And maybe in Achanami, according to the Shulchan Aruch, you can hold the Kli tightly, As long as you wet your hand, then you'll be able to hold the kli tightly, like the Rambam Shita is. Okay, there is one final point about this wetting of the hands, and that's the caveat that the Ramah adds. Let's take a look at the Ramah's addition to the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch just told us that you should hold the kli softly, but if lechleach yodav b'mayim, then it's no problem. But says the Rama, v'davka shelechleach yodav b'mei mikvah, avalo b'mayim tlushim. Only if you wet your hands with mei mikvah, you got to put your hand into the mikvah, wet your hands with the mei mikvah, and then hold on to the kli. But mayim tlushim, water that is separate from the mikvah, that's not mechubah to the mikvah, that doesn't work to create the chibur between the kli and the mikvah. You dafka need mei mikvah, not Mayim Plushim. This is a major statement that the Ramah makes. And a lot of Achronim are very troubled with this. The source of the Ramah is really a comment of the Mordechai. Look in Darkei Moshe, he quotes the Mordechai Tav Samach. The Mordechai in Simon Tav Samach, there at the end, Mordechai has a case where you're being matbil kli besoch kli. You're putting one kli into another kli. And then you're going to put that kli into the mikvah and there'll be a chibur of all the different kelim. So the Mordechai says that you've got to be careful that the kli isn't too heavy. Because if it's too heavy, then it's not going to be a chibur with the water. You really want to be tovel the kli besocha kli, right? You want to be tovel the inner kli. But the problem is, if it's too big, and then if you fill it with water, then it'll be too heavy, and then it'll serve as a chatzitza. So says the Mordechai, you just have to be careful to be megalgel the kli, to move it a little bit, and then it's going to be careful, and then it's going to be okay. As long as you turn it on the side, it's going to be okay. Because then you'll be able to get the water there. And he says, don't ask me from a Mishnah. The Mishnah Mikvah says that if a person goes to the mikvah, and their feet touch the bottom of the mikvah, they touch the ground, there's no problem. But why is there no problem? By the time the person's head is below the mikvah, his feet are touching the ground, so he's not completely submerged in the water. So how does that work? Dr. Mordechai, Yesh Lomar, Davka b'mikvah shalem, Shem mechuborim, Aval kishenosin haschuchas bedli afilu malimayim, eno moral kiyem tlushin. Says the Mordechai, the difference is when you go into the mikvah, the water on the floor is mechubah to the mikvah. So now when your foot touches the bottom, the water that's between your foot and the bottom of the mikvah, that's mayim, that's mei mikvah. So that can be mechubah. But in the case of the kli shebesoch dli, you're first putting the kli into the dli, you're filling it with the water, and then you're going to put it into the mikvah. That water that's between the inner kli and the kli that's holding it, that's mayim tlushim. That's not going to be mechubah to the mikvah. So you see clearly from the Mordechai that the only way that you'll create a chibur, if you have some strong grip between the kli and the mikvah, is if it's mei mikvah, not if it's mayim tlushim. So that's why the Mordechai said that you dafka have to have mei mikvah in order for there to be a chibur. The Achronim are very troubled. They say, what's the Rambam talking about? What, you put your hand into the mikvah, and then you take your hand out of the mikvah and hold the kli and put it back into the mikvah. So what have you accomplished? Right? If you put your hand into the mikvah, so now your hand is touching my mikvah. But then you take the hand out of the mikvah, so now the mayim that was my mikvah is now mayim plushim. So what exactly did you accomplish by putting your hands into the mikvah? And bechlal, what's the difference whether it's my mikvah or whether it's mayim plushim? Mayim is mayim. So if the mayim, if the water between your hands and the kli serve as a chibur to the mikvah, so they should serve as a chibur, whether it's mei mikvah or mayim plushim. What does it matter? Why is the Ramah so hung up? Why is the Mordechai so hung up that it should be mei mikvah? Mai nafkemina, mai shna, mei mikvah from mayim plushim. Mayim is mayim. What is the chemistry of mei mikvah is different than mayim plushim? It's the same as the other mayim. So what's going on over here? So the Vilna Gaon Taka says that he thinks there really is no difference. He disagrees with the Ramah, and he says, yes, you can wet your hand, according to the Mechaber, according to the Chalkas Binyamin, it's better to wet your hand. And once you wet your hand, it doesn't matter whether you wet your hand with tap water, with mikveh water, whether you put your hand in, or you take your hand out, it doesn't matter, says the Gaon. The key is, once you've wet your hand, now when you hold onto the kli, and you put it inside the mikveh, it's going to create a chibur. And according to the Tiferes Lemoshe's pshat within the Shach, as we mentioned, Morty Blau's pshat, even if you're holding on to the kli strongly, it doesn't matter, because maybe even the Rambam would say that this would work by Tfilas Kelim, according to the Tanakhama. So Zok the Bir Agra, he thinks the Rambam is incorrect. He thinks that really there is no chilek between Mayim Tlushim and May Mikvah. I saw there was a hand up. Was there a hand up? Okay. This is one pshat. That's the goal. How can we justify the Ramah? Let's say, right, want to understand the Ramah Shita. So the Mate Yonason, who's one of the Nosei Kelim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, so he suggests maybe the Ramah holds that you have to put your hands into the mikvah and leave them in the mikvah. Put your first hand into the mikvah. wet your hands with the main mikvah. Then take the kli with your other hand and bring it to the first hand. Right? Let go with the first hand and then hold it with the second hand. So then the mayim that you wet your first hand with will be main mikvah. That's the Mata Yonason's pshat in the Ramah. That yes, the Ramah holds that main mikvah somehow is better than mayim klusha. How is it better? It's still mayim. All is mayim. The answer is, since you're wetting your hands with main mikvah, and now you're holding the kli with that hand that had main mikvah, somehow the main mikvah creates a better chibur with the other main mikvah. If you're just at mayim plushim, it's tolush, you're going to grip the kli strongly, so somehow it doesn't create that chibur. But if the water on your hand is main mikvah, then that will create a chibur, a better chibur. So that's why the Ramah says that you should use main mikvah. That's why the Mordechai says you should use main mikvah. So how do you do it? Put your hand into the water, bring the kli into the water so that your hand inside the water can hold the kli, and then you'll have a chibur with the water in the mikvah. The Taz has a third shita. The Taz in Ilchas Nida, Taz here, long Taz in Ilchas Tfilas Kalim, Taz says it's all a function of how strongly you grip the kli. If you grip the kli very strongly, then Mayim Plushim are not going to work. But if you grip the kli, with a koach benoni, he says even mayim plushim taka should work. What's the difference? What's the difference? So when the Ramah says that you need dafka mei mikvah, he's assuming that you're going to grip the kli strongly. If you're going to grip the kli strongly, then you taka need mei mikvah. That's what the Mordechai is talking about. That you're going to grip the kli shebasoch kli is going to be very strong. So when it comes to the person being tovel in the mikvah, since the water on the ground was there before he came in, doesn't matter. Even if he touches the floor very strongly, it doesn't matter. But when there's the kli b'sol kli, if the inner kli is going to touch the other kli very strongly, and that's mayim plushim, that's going to be a problem. But according to the Taz, if you don't have such a strong grip on the kli, then even mayim plushim is enough to wet your hands. So basically what emerges is that there are three shitas, that either the Gra says there's no problem. You can use Mayim Plushim, you can use Mei Mikvah, it doesn't matter. But if you want to be Makvah for the Ramah, Dafka, the Mei Mikvah, so either you have the Mata Yonason's Pshat, that you put your hand into the Mikvah, then bring the Kli to the hand, bring the Kli to that hand, and then you'll be using the Mei Mikvah as the Chibur, or the Taz, that if you want to hold onto the Kli very strongly, then you should use the Mata Yonason's trick. You want to hold onto the kli very strongly, then you should use mei mikvah. But if you're not going to hold onto the kli very strongly, the Taz would say that even mayim plushim is sufficient. Even mayim plushim is going to be sufficient. So, lemaisa, there really is no difference between mayim plushim and mei mikvah according to many of the poskim. For those who want to be machmir, it's best. It's not so difficult to do like the Mata Yonason. Put your hand into the mikvah. Put whichever hand you want in first. And then bring the kli to the hand in the mikvah and try to grip it with not the strongest grip. You don't have to let go of it. Try to grip it with a loose grip under the water, and that, lechatchila, should be the best way to be tovel the kelim. They offer in the kelim mikvahs, they offer a basket. Right? There is a basket there. So one can be tovel a kli in a basket too. You want to be tovel silverware. The basket is the best way to be tovel the silverware. The discussion of the Machaber and the Ramah, wetting the hands or loosening the grip, that's talking about like you want to be tovel a pot. So sometimes you can't be tovel a pot in the basket because the pot is too heavy. So you have to figure out a better way to be tovel the pot. But silverware, you don't want to lose the silverware. The best thing is put the basket into the mikveh. Because there are so many holes in the basket, that's viewed as one unit together with the mikvah. Now, normally, to create a chibur between two mikvahs, we need a shear called shvoferes hanod. That means you have two etzbaos, right? A hole that's the diameter. That's the diameter of two fingers worth. But in the case of the basket, you don't need such a big hole because since the water goes easily into the basket, that's not viewed as a That's not viewed as a separate kli, right? You're allowed to be tovel kli b'sol kli. As long as the Gemara in Chagiga says you can be tovel kli b'sol kli even for truma, so certainly for chulin. As long as the water enters into the kli, that it doesn't have a din kli, either the water, if you lower the kli into the mikvah, so then the water goes on top of the kli, that's certainly okay. But if you have a basket, even if the top of the basket is outside of the mikveh, it doesn't matter, because since the water just enters into the basket very easily, it's not viewed as being the soul kli, so therefore you'll be able to be tovel the silverware in that fashion. Okay. Just be careful, as the Mordechai says, be careful not to put too much in at one time. You know, people sometimes fill up the basket before they put it into the mikveh, fill it up with, like, you know, I don't know, 24 sets of silverware. So that's a problem, because then the silverware is going to be too heavy, right? The top silverware is going to be mach, but it's going to be too heavy on the bottom silverware, and then there won't be a chibur. But if you put the basket in, and then you throw the silverware in one by one, so even if in the end there's a big heavy, heavy weight of silverware, don't make it too heavy, you'll break the basket. But even if there's a heavy amount of silverware, it's not a problem, because each piece of silverware that you threw into the basket, the tefillah is going to be kshera for that piece of silverware. Okay, just to conclude, the Shulchan Aruch says, in terms of the birchas tefillah, if one is tovel one kli, you make a bracha, shekin hashanah, and sosev etzivonu al tefillas keli. Keli means one kli. If you tovel many kelim, the Shulchan Aruch holds that you make a bracha al tefillas kelim. The Aruch HaShulchan says that the minig has developed that we just make a bracha al tefillas kelim. Even if you're tovel one kli, you make a bracha al tefillas kelim. I saw the Chelkas Binyamin also quotes many achronim that say that that's the popular minig now. Someone showed me showed me a picture of the rules in one of the mikvahs. He showed me a picture that he recently went to the mikvah to be tovel a lot of different kelim, and that particular mikvah says that for one kli you should say al tefillas keli, and for many kelim you should say al tefillas kelim. That follows the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, but there are many achronim that say you just say al tefillas kelim, even for one kli. The Shach says that some claim you should say the bracha al tefillas klei matches, to try to be mefaret even more, metal kelim. Others say, but what happens if you're tovel glass? Why should you say al tefillas klei matches? And some answer, well, but why is glass chayev? Glass is chayev because it's like mateches. It has the same properties as matachas, so you can use such a lashon. I think the minig is to just say al tefillas kelim for one kli, for two kelim, for glass, for metal. We just say al tefillas kelim, and of course one should make the bracha. One should make the bracha before the tefila. Right? One should make the bracha before the tefila. All birchas hamitzvah should be recited over la'asiyasan, before the asiyas hamitzvah, like by tefillin. And every other mitzvah that we do, shofar, etc. So by tefillas kelim as well, you should make the bracha before. What's the din if you forgot to make the bracha on tefillas kelim before the ma'aseh? So we paskin like the Rambam. It's a machlokes harishon. We paskin like the Rambam that even b'di'evid you cannot make the bracha la'achar asiyasan. Now, of course, if you only were tovel one kli and you have more kelim to be tovel, you can make the bracha over lasiyasin of the next tefillah. But if you only have one kli to be tovel, and you were already tovel the kli, then you say, gevalt, I didn't make the bracha. We paskin that b'di'eved, you cannot make the bracha afterwards. It's very important to keep in mind not to be mafsik between the bracha and the mitzvah. Always we try not to be mafsik between the bracha and the mitzvah. And that means that you should certainly not be mafsik between the bracha and the tchilas ha-mitzvah, between the bracha al tefillas kelim and the first kli that you're tovel. But really, me'ikar adin, you shouldn't be mafsik between the bracha and all the kelim that you're going to be tovel. Because it's all one big mitzvah. You want the bracha to be chal on the whole mitzvah. So it's best to make the bracha and not to be mafsik. Of course, if you're mafsik letzorech the mitzvah, let's say you have to ask someone something about taking off some sticker or something, he didn't understand taking off the sticker, getting another kli, and he's not understanding you, you can't motion, so that of course, letzorech, one is allowed to be mafsik, that's a part of the mitzvah. But if it's not letzorech, so one should not be mafsik between the bracha and the tefila until he finishes being tovel, all of the kelim that he's come to be tovel. Okay, this concludes our series of shiurim on Hilchas Tefilas Kelim. There's certainly a lot more to talk about. We saw in the Shulchan Aruch and the Poskim there's a lot more than what we addressed, but I think we did justice to the basic yesodos of the sugya. Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we'll start the sugya of Hechsher Kelim. Have a nice day.